children, and I'm glad to see some of them here today. And indeed, that's a great privilege for us to have been here then. This was a quick trip, a weekend trip, and as our brother mentioned, we were just here for a meeting, and I was glad to be able to share the word with you this morning. Yes, we are in Kansas City, Missouri. Worship with the Lord Saints at the Bible Chapel of Shawnee in Shawnee, Kansas. We really enjoy the time there. We've been there now for about 4 years. Prior to that, we were in Baltimore, Maryland. And I do see Jason and Reba, Amar and Deepa, some of the dear ones that we knew back there in Maryland who are here amongst you. I also noticed that I have two bottles of water here. Now, one thing I can tell you that I'm sure it's not because the message is going to be dry. Because the message is not going to be from me. Yes, if it comes from me, it is going to be dry. But I would request that you prayerfully sit in the presence of the Lord to speak to us today. And even as we would open up his word, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, if you would kindly turn into 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we are just going to read about 3 verses, and then later we would probably read a few more. First Timothy chapter 6, and reading starting in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Our God and our Father, we bow in your presence this morning, and we thank you for the hour that has passed, for the time that we could remember your Son, worship you, and return thanks unto you for a great work accomplished at the cross of Calvary. We thank you for our Savior. And this morning, even as we would open up your word and learn from it, Father, we pray that you would speak to the speaker first. It would convict me of what your word says. Father, we don't want to hear me say anything out of myself, but we do want to hear thee speak unto us. Help us to sit in your presence prayerfully, O God. Help us to hear your voice. For we ask it in the blessed name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. What I like to do this morning is to pick up one word from this section that we read out of these 3 verses. And the word I want to pick out is this word contentment. When we look at this word and try to define this word or look at the meaning of this word, it simply means, in simple words, it just says that it is satisfaction. That one is satisfied, one is fulfilled, gratified, and one is pleased. When we look at that word content, it gives us the impression that there is no more need in us. We are satisfied with what is with us. We don't desire anything more. But when we talk about contentment, we also need to talk about the opposite of contentment, which is discontent. We also need to mention about unsatisfied, because you would notice as we go through this study together that I would be flipping between content and discontent, or satisfaction and unsatisfaction. If we take our world that we live in, the society that we live in, you would notice that we are a discontented people. Are we all the time content? Think about the leaders that we have. Are we always content with the leaders that we have, whether they be in the federal, the state, or the local governments? We are always discontent with them. How about our schools, professors, and teachers? We are discontent with them. How about in our families? There are times when we are discontented with our families, our spouse, our children. And how about our friends and relationships? Are we always content with them? How about the possessions that we have, our finances, our wealth? Many a time, we are discontented with what we have. One would think that we are in an age where technology has progressed. In this technological age, we would think that we would be content with all that we have. I think about the smartphone, a phone that is really smart. If I have this phone, I not only can call, I can conduct a lot of things that I do on a daily basis. I can use it as a map, travel where I want. I can use it for banking and take care of transactions. I can send messages, whether they be short or long messages, or even a letter, like as in an email. So there are a lot of things that we can do with this little equipment. Has this made our life easier? Are we content with the life that we live? How about computers? There was a time when the computers were introduced. I remember at work they would say, you know, we would not need any more paper. But that has not been my experience. We generate more paper now than in the past. Are we content with our lives, with the way we live? How about what is ahead of us? I think the next generation is going to see a tremendous explosion in transportation. There is a lot of research that is going on with regard to transportation. People want to travel fast, people want to travel quick. They are also experimenting with cars without drivers, driverless cars. But are all these things going to make our lives easier? Are we going to be any content than what we are now? I'm going to look at the section taking up this word content and contentment in relation to people or persons. Also looking at it in relation to the place and position, and also in relation to possessions and property that we have. You know, God has placed all of us in the midst of people. Are we content with the people that we relate with? Starting first of all with yourselves, with ourselves. Are we content with ourselves? Are we content? Are you content with yourselves? I'd like you to turn into 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Just going to look at Paul as an example. With all the things that he has been through, you would notice here some of the things that he has to say. You know, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire section. I'm going to just make a reference to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, all the way from verse 23 up to verse 30. And in that section, what we are seeing is the various ways that Paul has faced life, how he was treated by other people, and how he has taken upon himself some of the sufferings that came his way. And this is what I want to read in verse 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. It's a tremendous statement from this person, Paul, who has been through a lot, who has suffered a lot, but yet was content as a person as himself. I'm reminded of the hymn writer, Franny Crosby, who has written so many of these hymns that we sing. And if we look at her life, she lost her eyesight due to some medical error, and finally wrote all those hymns even while she was blind. So many poems has she written. Thousands have been published. Is this a person who would be content with herself? I thought about that and I looked at my own life and tried to think, would I have been content the way I am? I was one who could see, and all of a sudden came to a position where I could not see anymore. But her hymns would speak otherwise. She's probably one of the most content person. It is said of her when she was interviewed once that she was asked that if she would ever desire to have sight again. And her reply was, no. I would rather be in this state that I am in. And when I open my eyes, the first person I see would be my Savior. What a tremendous statement. One who was content in herself the way she was. I know of two brothers who grew up together, and you know, like all of us siblings, we always have to share things. But these two were twins, and there were a time in their teenage years, they had some rough times between themselves. To the extent I heard one brother say, you know, I have to share everything with my brother. To the extent that I have to even share my birthday with him. The sense of discontentment is so prevalent in our lives. Is that to be the case? How about the family that is put before us? God has placed you and God has placed me within a family. God has given you and God has given me a family. Are we satisfied with them? Are we satisfied with the families that God has placed us in? I want to make a reference here of another character. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 2. And this is about Moses. You know, Moses was born. His family hid him for a while. But as he got a little older, he was put in that little basket, put in the water, floating. And then he was sent back to his mom by the Pharaoh's daughter. And read here in verse 10, Exodus 2 and 10. And the child grew, and she, that is the mother, brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. We don't have anything more said about Moses, about his early life here. And the next verse you read is when he's already with his people. But that little statement, he became her son, it almost tells us that he was content in being called or addressed as the Pharaoh's daughter's son. Was he content in being in that family? That was his position. That was his place. I've heard some friends say, I wish I was born into another family. Really? A state of discontentment. How about the friends God has provided us? Whether it be at work, at school, whether it be at the assembly, wherever God has placed us, how about the people that we are with? Are we content with them? Are we content with the position that God has placed us in? Are we content with the place God has placed us in? How about the various stages of our lives? Children. Are children happy with the responsibilities that they have? Responsibility towards their parents. Responsibility to be engaged in schooling or the chores that have been placed before them. How about us as adults? What about our responsibility to a family and to our employer and also in our church situations? Are we happy where we are placed? Are we content? Are we satisfied where God has placed us? You know, there is a character in the Bible. If you look at John's Gospel, chapter 1, and I'm talking about John the Baptist. You know, he was given a position or a place amongst his people. And we'll read here a few verses here. Verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. 19. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? That was the question that they wanted answered from John, as to who he is. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And then again in verse 26, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth. I am not worthy to unloose. And verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Here is John, had every opportunity to claim that he was even the Christ. And that is what these people were trying to get out of him. But John kept saying over and over again, no, I'm not the one. I just came before. I'm just pointing the way or pointing towards the person who is the Christ. And he revealed it to them. John was willing to t- take that lower position, to become that lowly person. He was content with the position that God had placed him in. But there is another character in the Bible who has been pretty discontent with the position that he has been in. But he had every reason to be discontent. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. You would recall when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was tempted in the wilderness, and after that, when he came out, he was met with the devil. And what did the devil tell him? He said a few things. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was hungry. So he said, hey, why don't you turn these stones into bread? He took him to the city and told him, why don't you cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple? The angels will take care of you. But I want to read verses 8 and 9. And this is the third thing that the devil had to say. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. One who was discontent. Why? What did he want to be? He wanted to be God. He wanted to take the place of God. And he wanted to be worshipped. One who was discontent. He was a fallen angel. He was thrown out from the presence of God because he rebelled against God. And the last part of it, content with the possessions or property that we have. Are we content, for example, with cash, with material wealth, or basic necessities that we have? It is very interesting, and I was surprised to read this in Luke's Gospel in chapter 3. There is a little phrase, and it says, be content with your wages. It took me aback when I read that, because sometimes we switch jobs because we are not happy with the wages that we get. Don't get me wrong, I'm also in the workforce. The only thing I want to make mention is the cash or is the wage the driving factor that causes us to switch jobs? Sometimes we switch jobs for the case of a promotion. Yes, we may get some benefits out of that. But is that the only reason that would make us switch jobs? You know, we had an experience as we were looking to travel to India this year. We went to India about 8 years ago. And when we came back, we had some Indian currency with us, and it sat with us, and we forgot about it because we've not been traveling back to India for a while. Until early this year, when we decided to go to India, and I looked for my passport and grabbed some stuff together, I see some currency sitting with me, Indian currency. But sadly, I could not use it. Some of you would recall about 2 years ago, I think, the Indian government devalued or devoided some of the currencies that they had, and they changed these denominations and made some of these currencies of no value. And I'm holding on to a bunch of paper now that has no value. every reason for me to be discontent, to be unsatisfied, to be displeased with what the government did. But is that how I would conduct my life? I cannot trust even currency that I hold on to. Many of us have 401ks at our workplace. It's a form of security for us for our future. But can we depend on what we have saved and kept aside for our future? I'm afraid there are times when this 401ks fall to 101k. Isn't that what happened just this past week in the stock market? It was way up there, but it has fallen. Are we going to depend on the things of this world, even such things as currency? And will that make our lives content? Turn with me, please, to Hebrews, and let's look at this one verse. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 5. If there is nothing that you get out of this message, this is a verse that you need to take hold of. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you and I know as to who is making that statement, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, nothing should concern us. We should have a life full of contentment. You would recall the story of Alexander the Great, one who has conquered the entire world in his time. And when he finally died, he asked the people that when he finally dies, that his hands be put out of the casket, bearing nothing in his hands, and telling us, once again, those verses that we read in 1 Timothy, that there is nothing that we'll carry out of here. Are we content with the possessions that we have? And just for another example, Genesis chapter 3. You know, we are going into the life of Adam and Eve, and they are in the garden. And look at these verses here. Genesis chapter 3, reading verse 2 and 3, verses 2 and 3. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Eve and Adam is in paradise. There was no place like this garden where they had everything that they needed. They were able to partake of everything that was there, except for this one tree that God said, don't touch, don't eat. But unfortunately, Eve laid hands on that fruit, laid hands on that tree. Despite having everything, she was even discontent. And she is not one who did not know as to what was going to happen. She was the one who told serpent what God had said to her. She cannot plead ignorance. She knew what was expected of her. But unfortunately, she proved herself discontent. What is the reason for our discontentment? Why do we lack contentment? We tend to look at the wrong person. We tend to look at the wrong place. We tend to look at the wrong thing. Whenever there is discontentment in our lives, there is a vacuum, there is a void in our lives, and we try to fill it with various things. And unfortunately, it creates a greater void. It creates a greater want in our lives, an unquenchable thirst, desiring and wanting more and more. Think about the lives of the rich and the famous and powerful. Even this year, we have read stories, and it was in the news as to what has happened to some of the rich and famous and the powerful. A life of discontentment. Our time is almost out, but this is what I would like to leave with you. As much as I've learned, outside of Christ, we can never be content. We spend an hour remembering the Lord in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. I hope all of us here is content with the work that was done at the cross of Calvary. I hope we are satisfied, because God is satisfied with what was accomplished at the cross of Calvary. Humility brings contentment. Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, was the words that were said. We need to know who is God, that he is the sovereign one, the faithful one, the trustworthy one. Our inheritance is in Christ. Our circumstances should not dictate our state of contentment. Rather, our convictions should govern our state of contentment. Story is told of a group of believers in an Asian country where they were persecuted, they were pelted with stones and rocks, and they had to run away. But when they came back, they picked up those very stones and rocks and built their chapel. They did not let the circumstances take over them. They were content to suffer for Christ. They were content to suffer for what they stood for what they believed, so that when they came back, they were able to rebuild their church with what they were stoned. Brothers and sisters, we live in an age where discontentment is so prevalent. And yet the Word of God would tell us that our contentment and our satisfaction should rest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are to look elsewhere, we would fail. If we are to look elsewhere, we would be unsatisfied. The hymn writer would say, no, none but Christ can satisfy. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. May you be encouraged. as well as I, that our dependence is not in ourselves and in what we possess, but our dependence is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God and our Father, we just want to thank you for this lesson that we could learn about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you would remind us that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And what we have in Christ would last. Father, we also read in your word as to where we ought to be building up our treasures, not here on earth, and yet, Father, we just want to pray that you would give us minds to ponder on these things that have been recorded for us, that we might learn what you have said, and that we would be content in thee. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time around your word. We thank you for your people. We pray that you would encourage and bless them and use them in their vineyard in this place. And we ask all this in the most lovely name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.